312-521-8600. Eric Childress to review a number of movies in a few minutes. First, it's Jill.
Hey, Gare.
Hey.
I was listening to your hairy body talk, and about 20, 25 years ago, I went out for a very nice meal, was taking a friend out for his birthday, and the waiter, while he was very nice, he was so hairy. Hair coming out the top of his collar, popping out in between the buttons of his button shirt, all over the back of his hand. And when he sat down the food, I mean, I turned white. It just turned my stomach. I couldn't eat. I felt so bad, though. Yeah. I tipped him very nicely, and I said, oh, I'm just not feeling well, and I just got it to go. It really turned me off. I feel bad, but I had a physical reaction to it.
I know. I think a lot of people would. I know it's not right, but...
No, right. I feel bad.
Oh, top of the hour. All right, 5 o'clock.
There you go. Yeah, I had to share it, but I did feel awful that I actually had a reaction to it, so I tipped him pretty nicely. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, thank you. All of a sudden, I think I got to go home. Can you wrap it up?
Yeah. That's what I did.
Did you eat it at home?
I did. I was taking my friend out for his birthday. We went right home and finished it. And it, actually, I remember the owner or the manager came over and said, oh, was something wrong with the food? I said, no. I'm not feeling well. I thought I was coming down with something earlier. And he wrapped it up and he gave us dessert to go on the house. I mean, he was very nice. I couldn't eat. It would just turn my, yeah.
All right. Thank
just
you,
had
Jill.
To share. Thanks, Gare.
Tell Bibble fried bologna is not Polish. Why did you say that was a Polish dish?
I thought that my mom was Polish, and so I...
You just assumed.
She made that like it was going out of style, so I assumed that that was something that...
And when you assume...
You make an ass.
Eric Childress is
Hello.
Here. Hey, Eric, how are you?
I'm okay.
And you have a number of movies to motor through tonight.
Yeah, I guess so.
Frank Miller's Sin City, A Dame to Kill.
Yes. Did you see the original Sin City, Gary?
I did not, but when I saw the trailer, it was one of those movies, like I've said many times, I want to go see that, but I never got around to go see that. I don't know
why. You've had 9 years to catch up with it, and it's been on cable a lot lately.
Okay.
It's one you should go back and revisit, actually. But I think you'd really enjoy it.
From what I remember, it was a really well-received movie and did very well.
Yeah, and you don't really, I mean, I think it helps to have seen that movie before you venture into this one, which director Robert Rodriguez has been trying to make basically for 9 years. A number of people have been involved and dropped out and just, you know, they just haven't found the time to get together to make this thing. And now they finally have, and I enjoyed it. I mean, I think that, you know, the first one was such a unique experience and really sort of brought Frank Miller's graphic novel series to life. It was really sort of a whirlwind of like sort of film noir cliches and just, you know, the wonderful hard-boiled dialogue and violence and, you know, really meaty stories and things like that. And in this one, he's still got sort of that Pulp Fiction structure where you have, three different stories that kind of weave in and out of one another. But for this one, Miller and Rodriguez created two brand new stories that weren't actually published in the original series. And as a result, the movie is a little bit more haphazard than the original. The two new stories do not compare to the central one, which is the title of the movie, A Dame to Kill For, that features Josh Brolin and Ava Green from TV's Penny Dreadful. And the middle section is the best of the three stories. And I think really sort of makes the film worth checking out. I think if you're a fan of the original film, you will find a lot of things to enjoy about this one. But do be warned that the final third does sort of venture off into Jessica Alba territory. And it's okay if you're just looking at Jessica Alba, but, you know, when you put her as the star of even 20 minutes, it can be kind of painful.
Wow.
So it's worth checking out if you're a fan of the original. I don't know anyone, you know, if you don't really know that film, you're not really going to probably find much to enjoy about this one.
And you give that what?
Three stars.
Three stars.
Carla Gugino is not in this one, right?
She is not in this one. Yeah, she had a very small part in the original. Was quite, you know, quite naked in the first one as well.
That's why I was wondering if she's in this one.
Watch your mouth.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, if that's what you're going in to see the movie for, then let it be known that Ava Green spends about half of her scenes in the buff.
That Carla was in Entourage, right? Is that the I'm thinking about?
Yeah, remember she was a Desire of the Elms at the Goodman?
Yeah, I met her.
Yeah.
Then. Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember. Very nice woman.
Yeah. But she was in that first one. And she
totally
was
naked.
Oof. Wow.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, she was fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a classic.
Quite a scene.
Whew. That's why I was wondering if she was in this one. I didn't see her name listed.
It holds you down.
Because I didn't know if she was the dame.
Well, spoiler alert. I mean, sorry, Gary, but she doesn't make it out of the first movie.
She what?
You remember. She doesn't make it out of the first movie.
Okay,
but you know what? I've only seen her scenes.
Oh, there you
go. On YouTube.
I get it. I hear you.
And the next one is If I Stay. What's that?
Oh, this one is sort of the latest in the sort of the dopey teen romance, young adult novel stuff that we've been getting a lot of in the cinematic world lately. And it stars Chloe Grace Moretz, who is in the films Kick-Ass, and more recently she was in the remake of Carrie. She's a wonderful young actress that has not been picking the best projects of late. And this one, she plays a teenage girl, an aspiring cellist who's on the verge of possibly going to Juilliard when her and her entire family get into an accident on a school snow day. And she winds up spending a good portion of the movie as a ghost, wandering around the hospital as her flesh body remains in a coma. And then we get sort of flashbacks to how she got there and her romance with a new boy in town who also happens to be a rock and roller. This is a movie that I think would have actually – it might have worked as a sort of an interesting sort of take on whether or not, you know, about life and death and you're living out your future, you know, that's very bright compared to a family that is really supporting you. Except this movie has the romance angle, and it has this the guy that plays the love interest in this movie is not only a bad actor, but it's such a horribly written character that you just wish that he was in the accident and he was the one not to survive. Ouch. And that the movie really concentrated on her and her family. I think the film might have worked if they had taken that approach. But unfortunately, it's a really dopey teen romance. And every time the boyfriend's on screen, it really takes something out of it. So I cannot recommend this film.
How many stars?
Two.
When I saw the trailer, it reminded me of that The Fault in Our Stars movie.
Yeah, well, it's kind of cut from the same cloth. You know, it's definitely going for tears. The Fault in Our Stars had, the whole cancer thing going for it or against it, however you want to look at it. And, you know, this one, you know, it's dealing with, you know, life and death decisions. And the ghost angle is really only sort of a small portion of the film because the movie is very much rooted in flashbacks when everyone is still living. So, yeah, unfortunately.
All right. When the Game Stands Tall.
Yeah, I have not seen this one yet, but this is based on a true story of a high school football team that went on a remarkable 151-game winning streak. I'm curious to see how that exactly translates into great drama, considering that not only, you know, do we really seem to know the outcome of 151 games, but there seems to be there's more drama in losing or at least aspiring to win that big game rather than just constantly winning and winning and winning and winning. I have not seen the film. I have not heard good things about it. I hear it's very cliche written and just sort of barely an average underdog sports film.
And there are some movies you have listed as smaller movies, and The Trip to Italy. What do we got here?
The Trip to Italy is a film that I think you would enjoy, Gary. If you're familiar with Steve Coogan, the actor and comedian, he stars in this movie. It is based on a BBC sort of a miniseries where Steve Coogan plays himself or a version of himself and his friend Rob Brydon. And they basically they take this road trip where Steve Coogan is hired by a magazine to write up reviews of restaurants that they visit. So the entire movie is them riffing on each other, doing comedic bits, and then spending time in restaurants and looking at wonderful plates of food and eating and commenting on that. And this one is a sequel to a film called The Trip. And you should go back and take a look at The Trip. It should be on Netflix, just to see the two of them do Michael Caine impersonations off one another. It's one of the funniest things you'll ever see. And this film, it works because it's the relationship between the two of them and just the joy of going to all these locations and seeing the two of them play off each other and eat a lot of really great food.
What do you give it?
3 stars.
Are You Here?
Are You Here is the first film created for the big screen by Matthew Weiner, who is the creator of Mad Men. It has a great cast: Owen Wilson, Zach Galifianakis, Amy Poehler. Unfortunately, this is a gigantic mess of a film. I saw it last year at the Toronto Film Festival. It's taken a little while, obviously, to get to the big screen, and has sort of met with even worse responses than I even gave it at Toronto. So this is an absolute skip. It's it kind of makes you wonder, like, how someone can be so good at creating a television show and yet so kind of inept at creating something for the movies.
So you're not giving it any stars?
I'm giving it 1.5 stars, and I think that's generous.
I always wonder when I hear a review that just hate something and you still give it a little something.
Well, sometimes a scene works, sometimes you get a laugh here and there. I think for something to get, less than say 1 star, something really has to be, either it has to be completely inept, there's no laughs whatsoever, or it has to sort of offend on a sort of a moral standard. But a film like this, it's just really just kind of bad, and it just kind of sits there, and you're just kind of wondering where it went wrong. And sometimes you don't even know. You just sit watching all these really talented people on the screen in the service of absolutely nothing. And that's what this film sort of feels like.
Am I alone in this? When I read Rolling Stone and they have the reviews of the albums in the back, I go immediately to the ones that have 1 star, 1.5, because for some reason, I want to see why that was a train wreck. What makes this so bad?
Sometimes those are the more entertaining reviews. I mean, I think any critic will tell you that a bad review is a lot easier to write than a good review, because with a good review, you're really trying to nail everything that is, what makes a film so special. And, you want it to sort of, exemplify everything for an audience who might not be familiar with a work like that. With a bad film, it's just bile. It just comes out of you, and you just want to sort of get that, it's like a pit in your stomach when you see a bad movie or a bad, record or something like that. And you just want to, just want to sort of vomit it out with words.
Very, very poetic. Very nice.
Thank you.
The One I Love.
Yeah, The One I Love is sort of a two-person film with Mark Duplass and Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men. They play a couple that is on the verge of separating, but they get counseled by Ted Danson, the marriage counselor, tells them to go off to this little retreat in the country. And they go off to this retreat in the country to work on their marriage. And that's about all I can say about the movie, because the movie takes a very interesting turn at this location that they go to really sort of takes the film into a whole nother level that you really do not want to have spoiled going in. I will say that there is sort of a science fiction element to the film, so if that is enough to entice people to see a sort of a romantic or a relationship film with a sci-fi twist to it, then I think this is the film for them. It's really well done, really well performed, and a really sort of interesting story about what makes relationships tick or fail.
3.5?
I'm going to go also 3 on this.
You're being stingy this week.
A little stingy.
Is this movie playing anywhere beyond the Music Box or the Gene Siskel Theater?
No, it is not.
No,
unfortunately. Yeah, you have to go to the Music Box to see these movies, some of these smaller releases. But a trip to the Music Box, that's hardly a bad thing.
Yeah, but I'd like it when it's in a multiplex and it's there. Because
the Music Box,
unless you're within a 5-mile deal there, I don't want to go to the Music Box. Where's the parking?
I hear you, especially during that the Cubs are in town.
Exactly. I have to look at the Cubs schedule, Music Box. I'll wait till it comes to the AMC. somewhere.
No, it's very understandable, but that's the sort of the catch 22 of movies like this, is that you got to get people to the music box so the studio would go, oh, well, that's working out pretty well. Maybe we should expand a little bit. But, yeah. You know, but it takes more than, you know, it's not like everyone's just looking at the music box. You know, this all the few cities that the movie like this does get released in, all of them sort of have to do well. It's not just one city versus another.
That movie that's been out now for a week or two, it's about these restaurants, the 100-yard stair or 100...
the 100-foot journey.
100-foot journey.
Yes.
Is that any good?
It's kind of average from what I've been hearing. I still haven't seen the movie. I was a big Lassie Hallström directed the movie, and he used to direct a lot of really great movies. He did What's Eating Gilbert Grape, Once Around with Richard Dreyfuss and Holly Hunter. He did the movie Chuck a lot. From a few years ago with Juliette Binoche and Johnny Depp. So he makes sort of charming, sort of middle of the road type movies. And that's kind of what I keep hearing about this one. I hear no one really hates it. No one really loves it. So it's kind of there, and it's drawing a small little audience.
Okay. And it's produced by Spielberg and
Oprah.
And Oprah.
Yeah. And so Oprah, you know, I don't think Oprah has the magic touch that she did when she was on the air more frequently.
Why do you need two money bags? That doesn't look like that expensive of a movie.
Sometimes they like the story. They like the people involved. They don't. It's not like they need millions of dollars to make that movie. But, you know, if you get, you know, a Spielberg or an Oprah behind your movie, that's all the publicity that you need.
Right, and I think it's funny when they do that, produced by Steven Spielberg and Oprah Winfrey, and I'm thinking, okay, that's like the Oprah Winfrey tea at Starbucks. Why do I care that she's involved in tea? Is that her expertise? Well, no.
Right, exactly. It's more of an endorsement than anything else. And at least Oprah and Spielberg are names. You know, I don't exactly want Oprah recommending movies to me at all. But Spielberg has a touch. You know,
right. I'll give him some credit. But
exactly. And it's a lot better than seeing, you know, a movie ad or something in the newspaper on television where you see something like from the producers of, like, there are a bunch of trailers out right now that I'll say that from the producers of The Blind Side, which doesn't do anything for me because I think The Blind Side is a horribly awful, just excruciating experience at the movies. But when you just see from the producers of The Blind Side, that means nothing. That means that they put up money and they helped get the movie made. They had nothing to do really with the creativity behind that movie,
okay,
which was none, actually.
Yeah. All right. That's a lot to bite off on one week, but we did it. Or you did.
There you go.
Thank you, Eric. Talk to you next week.
You're welcome. Sounds good.
Eric Childress with the movie reviews.
And of course, you know, Spielberg and Oprah worked together on Color Purple.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's where they... She said she was on her treadmill, and she was singing a song, like a religious song, and she said how she wanted to be in The Color Purple, and the phone rang.
And there it was.
And it was Steven Spielberg.
Because I'm supposed to be moved that she invested in this movie.
Yeah, I mean.
But you invested in that network.
Right.
And I don't know. Is that working?
It's just because you have a pocketbook, you know, a checkbook. Doesn't
a pocketbook.
Mean,
well, yeah, pocketbook. You're thinking about your mom. That's sweet. Because she made the fried bologna sandwiches.
Yeah. Those were good. Did you ever have fried bologna?
I think I did.
Yeah. It's funny because when you fry it, it domes up. It doesn't just lay flat. It becomes like a dome, the fried bologna.
Yeah, it's better than plain old bologna. It's what bologna needs.
Well, the best was, you know, on this, I've been watching Little League World Series, and so I'd love to watch it, not just because of the baseball, but underneath the kids' names, they have their height and their weight and their batting average, and they always have this little fact about them, their favorite food, their nickname, their favorite subjects, you know. And so this one kid was this little chubby guy, short chubby guy, and his favorite food was Spam and bologna.
I was Spam like, and bologna.
No kidding.
Ouch. Again, ouch. A lot of venom out there today.
Oh, it's so cool. It's like they have nicknames. So the kid's name is Bob, and then it'll be nickname Lil Bob.
Lil Bob.
Lil Bob. It's their nickname.
So tonight it's a do or die situation.
Yeah, Monet is on that team too.
But she's not pitching.
Right. No, but she got stuck by the Sports Illustrated cover curse.
Oh, she was on the cover.
She was on the cover this week, and then she lost.
That curse, have they done actual research to see that it is a curse?
I don't know. It's enough. It's happened enough that whatever qualifies as a curse, it's pretty close.
All right, Leslie, what do you got? I saw some weather bulletin. Is that anything? I mean, I heard the
right
beeping.
I'm not hearing anything.
And
the National Weather Service.
The National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Lake Indiana. Oh.
Lake Indiana. Where is that?
Like
not that
Indiana?
Far.
Yeah.
Is it?
Where is it?
It's right over the border.
Oh, is that us?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No. Is that around
it's
here?
Indiana. It's
do I
state.
Care? I don't know.
Why isn't that on the Indiana station?
But isn't the Chicago area going to get maybe some violent, angry, grab-your-ankles weather tonight?
They're saying thunderstorms for the rest of the evening.
I heard earlier today hail and maybe damaging winds, but maybe they've taken that out.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything. And this warning is brand new. The Illinois Toll Highway Authority is trying to give customers some money back. The agency is trying to return $2.2 million from about 50,000 dormant accounts. Most of the accounts, they say, have less than $50 in them, but as many as 500 customers are entitled to $100 or more.
How do we find out?
Account holders have until October 1st to either reactivate those accounts or close them. So you just go on the Illinois Toll Highway's website, and you can check whether your account is active or not. Meanwhile, Missouri Governor Jay Nixon announced what he's calling a systematic withdrawal of National Guard troops from the town of Ferguson. The move comes after the first night of relative calm since the shooting of Michael Brown. Only a handful of protesters showed up last night. Meanwhile, a group of protesters are taking to the streets of Chicago regarding the Michael Brown case. The protest gets underway at about 6 o'clock this evening at Daly Center Plaza. And a report published from the Government Accountability Office says the Department of Defense violated the law by swapping five Gitmo prisoners for Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. The key issue was the department's failure to properly advise Congress of the planned transfer. On the expressways, we're starting to see some improvements, so obviously the rain is letting up. They're now saying that the Cubs games will get underway at 6 o'clock, and they'll play those first four innings first and then go right into the regular game that was scheduled for this evening.
Well, that's going to be a late night at the rig if you're going.
Sweetly well.
You're
going
to have a few
there?
5-pound pretzels to chew on.
And wouldn't you have gone there at 3?
No, if I saw
you
the
would
sky,
have waited?
No. Okay. I didn't think that first finish up the first game would be that big of a deal.
How about the family we saw heading there last night?
Oh.
There had to be 8 or 10 people, woman asked Jim and I if we thought she could get tickets outside Wrigley.
Wait, what are you talking about?
This family that we passed
in our parking lot. Yesterday, for some reason, I don't know why.
They were
parking in the lot because it's
but
a closed
it had
lot.
To be a group of about eight or nine people, and they were heading over to Wrigley in the hopes that they could get some scalp tickets last night.
He's like, "Can I get some scalp tickets outside of Wrigley?"
Okay, that would be around 7:15.
Yeah, I'm
the
like,
game had already started.
That's
precisely.
What I said to her.
And that's
and
where Jim and I are kind of looking
there,
at each other like, "What?"
I said, "Well, you might be able to get some cheap seats because by the time you get there, it's going to be the fourth inning."
But I'm thinking you could get cheap seats, but none of them are going to be next to each other either.
Yeah,
what are the chances that you'd get your whole group close together?
Sounded like they were going to go regardless.
Did they look like Irish travelers?
They did.
That whole scene that you just described had a, why were they in the parking lot? Because the parking lot is not on the beaten path.
And it's a private parking lot.
You need to
lot.
Get in with a card.
Right.
So I don't know how they got in. And then it was strange because Leslie and I were walking to our cars. We parked next to one another, and we were just finishing up a sentence. And I could see this woman kind of listening to our conversation, which was about nothing.
Right.
But she was, like, looking, and I'm like, well, what's this one interested in? But she was waiting for us to stop talking so that she could then ask us,
could
I get some scalp tickets at Wrigley Field?
At that point, Bibble's tossing nickels and pennies onto the pavement, and Leslie's scrambling for
them. I'm watching Leslie.
So
that's the routine.
That answers your question. They couldn't be Irish travelers because they didn't pick up any of that change.
That's what I need to know. Thank you. In this text, we just drove through the Indiana storm. Bad visibility. Bad visibility. Bad.
I'm just getting a notice here. It's nothing weather-related. It's just that the Sox have traded somebody important, I guess.
All right. The game guy just came and flipped you off. You got to stop.
Okay.
Yeah. They have to cover that territory. We cannot.
I don't even know what I'm talking about when it comes to sports. I just read the words.
I saw on a TV monitor that there was a smash and grab at the Hancock. Was it last night? Because it was the footage was in the dark, so I assume it was last night. If these streets go, there's nothing left. If the mag goes, we got zero. Because this is the last, we got Mag Mile.
This is the last haven.
Go, and if that is lost.
Oh, man.
But they showed a window and the Hancock smashed, and somebody grabbed.
What can you smash and grab on the first floor of the Hancock?
All, it's retail.
There is retail stores.
Oh, yeah.
Like
they sold
Buy
the
or?
Whole front of the building to retail.
Oh, and okay.
You remember the entrance
mall
used
area.
To be.
Yeah.
It's on little... Michigan Avenue, not below. No,
not below.
Oh,
no,
really?
It's right on Michigan Avenue. The main entrance of the building used to be right in the front, but when you can make money, suddenly the main entrance is on the side, and it's all retail on the front, on the Michigan Avenue level.
How weird. I haven't been there in a while.
I'm pretty sure it's the Best Buy.
It
used to be a Paul Stewart.
That's gone. Best Buy took over.
Yeah.
But if you can look
that up.
There was
like a North Face or something.
Yeah,
right.
I think that might be it.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the expressway.
We got to start grabbing your fall winter gear. If they come up with the scratch, these guys could be your Super Bowl halftime entertainment.
They're willing to pay 20% or whatever they want.
Gots to pay.
Did they say how much they wanted?
No, they haven't locked down any of that yet, if in fact that is how they're going to go about the halftime act. Yesterday I mentioned I was looking at some old notes, old previous notes, and then I got an email from Al. It says, all notes by their very nature are past tense, having been written at some point before they were being looked at. So you don't need to say previous notes or old notes. All notes are old or previous or redundant.
Wow. Way to relate.
Thank
to
you, Al.
By the way, did you see who Chris Martin is dating these days?
Yeah, we were talking about that. Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
J-Lo.
She seems like she'd be a lot more fun than Gwyneth.
Wow, you... Or with the other crowd that just hates her.
Well, I was just saying that
I don't hate her.
He just got a younger version of Gwyneth.
In that...
Right?
That ingenue?
Yeah. At the time, Gwyneth Paltrow was the it girl.
Saw a radar picture of the weather over in Lake County, Indiana, and it looks like it's purple.
Yeah, that's not good, right?
Purple
isn't good.
Is not good.
not usually.
Not in a forecast.
And now a severe thunderstorm warning is in effect for Kankakee and Will counties in Illinois until 6:12.
Okay, so.
Grab your ankles.
That is a flash flood situation, if I've ever heard one. Permaseal, I told you.
Why don't we get, remember when we were younger, it just used to rain kind of. Long but soft.
Mm-hmm.
Now every time it rains, it's catastrophic.
I, as a child, with that soft rain, used to write my best poetry, just that gentle rain.
Well, yeah,
as
and
you
now,
sat in a window seat
it's
somewhere.
Too violent.
Yeah, I mean now it doesn't rain and it rains for 10 minutes. It wreaks destruction, and then it goes away.
Right.
Whereas before you have a nice little drizzle.
Sitting
anymore.
On my front porch and watching thunderstorms in the summer all the time.
But
and you know what? We weren't afraid of them either. We'd still go, if it was thundering and lightning, you were still riding your bike out there.
Last night, my wife and I had al fresco dining, and I have to admit, I hate to do this, it got dark.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it's like quarter to eight,
it was that
right?
moment when I thought, I can't deny it. It's dark, and I don't have a watch, but I looked at something that indicated time.
It had to be 8 o'clock, quarter to 8.
Yeah.
Easily.
It was right after the show.
Right.
By the time we got there and started, it was dark, and I thought, and that's that moment where I keep myself in denial.
Yeah.
And then I have to admit it.
No, I think it's before 8 o'clock now. The sun is officially going down. I don't know when it gets dark. Dark. Oh, the best was, so I'm watching the Channel 2 news yesterday. Rob Johnson. They show a picture of the skyline. It's 10 o'clock news. He goes, it's pretty dark out, but you really can't see how humid it is.
Unless somebody with frizzy hair walks by.
I mean, first of all, it's 10 o'clock at night. Yeah. He says it's pretty dark out.
Yeah,
no,
it's going to be.
It's dark.
It doesn't stay light even in the summer at 10 o'clock.
And then the chaser is, you can't see how humid it is, as opposed to if it was light outside.
You could see
then
it.
You'd see the humidity.
Again, if somebody with frizzy hair or floppy hair comes by, you can tell.
I couldn't believe that comment.
Hey, like, Aaron, where's the story about the marijuana deal in Illinois? It was on the front page of the Tribune today, and we had engaged in a little marijuana talk yesterday, and then I'm sure the Tribune was listening and said, you know what? We got to run a story on the front page.
Because we were just asking out loud, when does it start, or has it been implemented?
Because that mother trends high on iTunes. I mean, we got to follow.
Weed talk, always big. Oh, by the way, that Oman, that's live Ghana radio.
That was trending number one at 3 o'clock.
So the live Ghana radio.
What the heck is he talking about? I got to grab that.
I don't know. Some fatwas.
Oh, hell. Oh, hell. All right, I thought I had that story.
I think he was making wacky calls to America.
Probably, ordering fried chicken for some political figure here. All right, I want to talk about that because they outline what is going to be happening with the medical marijuana, who can get in on it, how they're going to go about deciding who gets the dispensaries, and the places that cultivate it. Oh, yeah.
It's a whole thing.
And you've got to have some scratch, too.
Yeah, you just don't pull up to a little storefront and say, medical marijuana for sale.
No.
This is very regulated because they made a big deal as to even where the dispensaries will be located. I don't want them near schools.
All right. Don't want them near, well, wherever else the people in The Godfather didn't want that stuff near.
Put it by the hippies. They're savages.
They're
anyway.
Savage. Let them lose their souls. Love that stuff.
I also want it regulated.
Medical marijuana investors grilled public officials yesterday for any scrap of information they could get about applying for state licenses before they must fork over up to $25,000 for the privilege, and that's non-refundable.
Wow.
Put in that bid, and
it's like a college admission.
Sure. Nearly 300 people turned out at a public meeting to ask state regulators about the process to apply to grow, dispense, or use medical marijuana. Questions range from the highly technical. Someone asked if it's okay to use vaporized sulfur on marijuana, to the constitutional, such as whether it's legal to prohibit owners of medical marijuana businesses from also being customers. Is this the one that breaks down the cost of entry? This just says $25,000 to apply. It was on the front of the Tribune. Where is this from? Oh, this is ChicagoTribune.com. Business applications due September 22nd require fingerprints, background checks, and tax returns for all owners, along with detailed business plans. And by detail, they said they want all kinds of diagrams, security cameras, where they're going to be.
Well, in that story, there was a lawyer that was quoted because he's hoping to be approved. And, I mean, he's saying that this is, he said, we've got spreadsheets and this is not just some, whoa, uh-oh.
Downstairs, that little beep wasn't as loud. They want you to pay attention here.
Yeah.
Severe thunderstorm watch for Kankakee beginning at 5:36, ending 11:06.
Wow.
You're going to have to hold your ankles longer than Leslie mentioned a few minutes ago.
But he was saying that this is a very big enterprise to step into. But as he also said, this is going to be a growth industry, no pun intended. And it's not very often that you can get involved in an investment like this on the ground floor. And so it really is a serious business investment. This is not just some little fly-by-night thing.
No. Several questions address the issue of foods that contain marijuana, which are popular in other states that already have medical marijuana. Marijuana edibles may take all kinds of forms, brownies to medicinal chocolate, but regulators say they cannot be made to look like commercial candy, like a Baby Ruth or Butterfinger. I don't want them looking like a Butterfinger.
I don't want them to be a Twix.
I want them to look like a York Patty.
A Snickers.
A Three Musketeers.
That's an Infirmia.
I don't want them to look like a Bit O' Honey. A Hershey.
Make them look like granola bars.
Yeah, that's for the hippies.
That's for the hippies.
They're animals.
Let them lose their souls.
I bring the politicians and the police What do I get for this?
But I have to know that when he has the judges that he will share it. After all, we are not communists.
All marijuana, including edibles, must be produced and put in sealed packages at the cultivation centers. This sounds like a Simpsons cartoon, would put it to use here.
Man.
So several entrepreneurs question how they would let customers see, smell, and touch their products. That's any true. Package opened as a sample must be disposed of within a week. I'm sure you could...
Just don't worry about it. Yeah,
somebody will take
There's
it.
There's going to be some dumpster diving going on at those places, believe me.
Aaron just pointed out in the Tribune, it starts on the front page, and then it goes to page 8, and she said, I have a picture of me for the program, The Future Is Now, get your Gary Meyer fix every weekday, WGN.FM. My face, if you fold it, will go right into the medical pot business only for the savvy story.
And you do have a sly smile on your face.
Yeah.
That's the one where Tom is on top of you.
And then Tom's picture, they're advertising him right on top.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing a whole Siegfried and Roy something or other.
Well, you said you're a power bottom. You have that big smile on your face.
Watch it. It's because of the medical marijuana. I got glaucoma.
Cataracts.
Cataracts all over the bejesus belt.
Now, my question is, does it have a real medicinal value, or is it just that it makes you feel good?
I don't know,
good,
but the people,
and that makes that takes
whatever
your pain
it
away.
Is, it works, right?
Well, then shouldn't cocaine be? I mean, isn't it any drug that makes you feel good, or is this the least amount of
apparently
seriousness of a drug? You know what I mean?
Let me handle this one, gentlemen. Apparently, marijuana does what it needs to do, but is not as addictive. The problem with cocaine, it's very addictive.
Okay.
And if it had the same qualities, the problem would be the side effects, right, or the downfall would be it's addictive, and then you're screwed.
So but really, the essence of this is I'm getting high, and it makes my pain go away, right?
Aren't those the lyrics in Tommy or Pinball Wizard? What are you quoting?
Well, I'm just saying it seems What drug wouldn't be medicinal? Aren't drugs medicinal? I mean, that's the definition.
You've been before the judge a few times.
Well, I've always gotten a kick out of this. You know that this was some kind of back way to get marijuana legalized by saying that it's good for medicine, and then we'd say, okay, and then once that barrier gets broken down, then we're used to seeing it in a store, and we're used to seeing people doing it, and then we go, well, let's just legalize it.
A lot of drugs from plants and tree bark and stuff, isn't that what they're derived from?
I completely agree with you, but I think basically, aren't you just getting high? Just getting high. You're not taking, like, if I take a Motrin, I don't get high, my headache goes away. But I think you're just getting high, and that makes your pain go away, which is fine.
Yeah.
I have nothing against that, but let's just call it what it is.
Please note that hostile witness is amongst us. He's raising his voice.
Well, I just find it interesting that it's medicinal, but I think you're just sugarcoating it to find a way to how are we going to get this finally legalized. And first we'll say it's good for...
Okay, I have just come up with a new deal here where I challenge certain people to smoke a doob because of glaucoma. All right? I challenge...
The doobie challenge.
I challenge Superintendent Gary McCarthy, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, to smoke a doobie for glaucoma.
All right.
And then send a check. Application and license fees, non-refundable.
Man.
Application fees, like I mentioned, $25,000 for grow houses and $5,000 for dispensaries. License fee for those approved will be $200,000 for grow houses and $30,000 for dispensaries. Oh, wow. Cultivation center, the grow house application, you have to have a 1,000 possible points, and then here's how they grade you.
Points?
Cultivation plan, 300 points.
Oh.
Security plan, 200 points. Suitability of proposed facility, 150 points. Product safety and labeling plan, 150 points. Staffing and operations plan, 100 points. Business plan, 100 points.
And you have to have a certain amount of points to...
Yeah, apparently you got to hit a certain threshold to be in on the game.
Jeez.
Dispensary application, 900 possible points. Business and operation plan, 200 points. Security plan, 200 points. Record keeping and inventory plan, 200 points. Suitability of proposed dispensary, 150 points. Financial disclosures, 150 points.
This sounds like it's going to ace out a lot of
well, that's
friendly,
what they're going to do, yeah.
There's nobody named Snake or Ace is going to be involved in this.
Well, they mentioned in this article, if I can find it, this isn't for, hey, dude.
Right,
and
that's what I mean.
Wow.
I got
hey, Mr. Han.
I got a guy.
Yeah, I've got to find it. People who are applying, they're not stoners. They're not the, whoa, dude guy. These are savvy business people.
They're not Spicoli.
Yeah. By the time you're done with the application, it's going to be looking like a phone book.
And right off the top, that sounds like it's at least, right off the bat, there's more than $250,000 investment.
During a four-year pilot program that went into effect at the beginning of the year, Illinois will award 60 dispensary retail licenses and 21 cultivation center licenses.
And I understand these grow houses have to be huge. They're like...
Yeah, not like what we're seeing in some of these bedrooms and garages with the hydroponic stuff going on.
Fluorescent lights in the basement.
All right, taxi driver Bob.
Yes, sir. I had to check in for the day. And my favorite line in Fast Times and Ridgemont High, where Spicoli goes, you got to look at that wave, dude, and you got to say, let's party, man.
That's right. I want to party with Mick and the Stones.
That's right. But glaucoma, my dad has glaucoma, and it's a high blood pressure in the eyes. And when you smoke marijuana, it lowers the pressure in your eyes so that you don't go blind. And I know there's other medicinal things that it also does for people that have other stuff, but I'm not sure exactly. I would be remiss in saying that I know about those in exact terms, but... Mm-hmm. I know for sure in glaucoma that it lowers the blood pressure in your eyes and you don't, because the medication my dad takes is like real powerful and it really makes you feel real crappy if you don't take the right dosage or the right kind, because there's all different kinds.
So he will switch to marijuana when it becomes legal? Or becomes available? It's already legal medically. They haven't set it all up yet.
I was talking to him about that. He says, no, I'm not going to do that. He's 87 years, an old Jewish guy, 87 years old.
What? I'm going to start smoking pot?
I'm going to smoke pot?
Is it marijuana?
Gonna make me act
weird. What? Right. We're going to go for cake every night now?
Don't bogart that joint. Leave some.
My God, this is ridiculous. This is not why I lived 87 years, to be a hippie.
Where's my roach clip?
Is this what Sid Caesar would have done? All right, Bob.
You have a good one, Gary.
Thank you.
Where's my Yes album and my black-white poster?
Cannot believe it.
So it sounds that there actually might be some, it's not just getting high, that there might be some actual medicinal.
That doesn't apparently work in other things. I mean, it's marijuana specific. That's what I'm getting here.
I've just heard in L.A. or in California, where it's been legal for a while, that it sounds like it's almost a wink-wink, that all you have to do is tell a doctor that you've got a backache or something, and they give you a prescription, and off you go.
Well, isn't that why the federal government has been closing some of these places in California?
Yeah, it sounds like it's just...
Even though the state has said yes... They're not on board like Colorado and Washington.
Yeah, it sounds like in California, it's pretty much a kind of a joke that everybody has this. Everybody's sick in California.
All right, cue Yakety Sax, and perfect example of you go to your doctor, what's wrong with you? I think I hurt my back doing something, and I need some medical marijuana, and if you could write a prescription, that'd be swell.
Oh, okay, I will then.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah, I mean.
If you weren't listening earlier, Yakety Sax is the soundtrack to just about everything going on the planet.
Is that the name of the song, Yakety Sax?
That's what I saw when I looked at the video of the Wrigley tarp being mishandled. They were playing the Benny Hill theme. That's what I've called it. And it said Yakety Sax.
Yakety Sax.
Yeah.
That's a perfect name for it.
And I started the program talking to Tom about an incident that happened today where... Yakety Sax just went off in my head when I went to the bank to deposit something, and the teller was occupied. I should have known it was going to be a while when the guy who was sitting in front of her said, I'll bet you're glad I came in today, huh? And I thought, well, just settle in. And then she said to me, oh, just a deposit, I'll mail you the receipt. No, no, I'll wait. And then another woman in a little office next to her said, I'll take the deposit. So I walk over and hand it to her. She goes, you have to stand on the other side of my desk because there's very sensitive information right here. So I just moved to the other side of her desk. And she goes, no, in the lobby area. And then yakety sax kicked in.
And if she hadn't told you,
I wouldn't.
Why would
That's one of those things. I remember in high school.
How would you know it's sensitive?
Here's another example. Right. It triggers the thought, well, now I want to look.
Right.
I wouldn't care. I wouldn't think you had anything sensitive. We were in school one day, and about half hour into the day, the plumbing went out, and they made an announcement, because the plumbing's out, you're all going home early, and don't think about going over to Hillcrest High School and visiting. And I'm thinking, I didn't have that thought, but now that you've mentioned it,
exactly.
I think we'll go buzz Hillcrest High School.
Don't tell me what I'm not supposed to
do. Don't introduce the thought, because most people don't have it until you introduce it. Lenia?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. My son went to California for a couple days, and he was intrigued by the medical marijuana clinics. So he went into one, and he said, I just forgot my medical marijuana card. What can you do for me? And he called me up an hour later. He was so excited. He had all kinds of edibles, things that we couldn't even imagine. They were like, no problem. Just help yourself.
Right. They have suckers and, like you mentioned, brownies and little chocolates. But they don't want in Illinois any of that stuff to look like a Butterfinger, O. Henry,
Snickers,
or a
Kit Kat,
Twix,
$100,000
payday. None of that. I don't want anybody to be confused.
Well, remember Maureen Dowd?
Clark.
Maureen Dowd ate something.
Oh, yeah. Maureen Dowd, a columnist for the Times, she went to Colorado and was going to write a piece on, okay, it's legal, let me see what this is all about. So she took, I think, some candy.
It was in some kind of a bar form.
Right. Ate it. Nothing happened for a half hour or so. She thought, well, I better goose it up. So she ate the whole candy bar. And she had such a bad trip, she wanted to kill herself.
You were only supposed to eat one
little
segment.
Right, and she ate the whole candy bar.
Yeah.
Linnea, we cover all that for you?
Yeah. They didn't even ask him for ID. And he lives in Chicago. So
that's what I mean.
They didn't have a problem with it at all.
It's kind of like a wink, wink.
In fact, I got a text that said
he
here
did,
that.
Right, yeah.
This person has a friend who sells it in California and have made millions.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, that's why it was interesting when they were going to do it here, because once they were talking about how they were going to put the whole thing together, I was like, boy, this doesn't sound like the California process.
No, and that's why the feds are shutting willy-nilly different stores down in California. It's not completely kosher yet. If it's kosher, then maybe I'll take it.
Then I'll take it.
Then we'll go for cake.
I'll have some arugula.
Thank you, Linnea.
Some marijuana-laced arugula.
Who likes pie? Let's go for pie. Matt?
Yeah, I was just wondering, how is medical marijuana going to work with Obamacare? Or how is Obamacare going to work with medical marijuana? Or
I don't know. Have they
going to provide?
Have they fleshed all that out?
I don't know.
All right. Well, that's up for discussion.
Hey, no worries, man. Don't worry about it. It'll work out.
Yeah, everything's cool.
Everything's cool. Just
Yakety Sax, Boots Randolph, 1963. Thank you. 312-521-8600 is the text and phone number. But just let that, if you are hearing some bad news, watching the news on television, and you play that in your head, it just kind of makes it better.
You know, it might be fun. You can actually put that, I don't know about your phone, I don't know how sophisticated your phone is, since it's a burner.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be fun to just put
as
that.
As a dial tone?
No, just have it. And then whenever you're in a situation, just like call it up and play it.
Yeah.
And it'll be your own little soundtrack. Like, oh, I'm having a moment.
I'm telling you, just not in real bad situations. Obviously, it's not going to make that better. But in that situation I had today, or when the woman cut in front of me in the checkout line, and it just works.
It's a fun little song.
It is.
And you just think of Benny Hill, especially, because everything is in fast motion.
When they, right, when they always play sped that, up the camera.
With the old man, and he would always, and the little old, that bald guy would always come up to a woman's breasts.
Exactly.
Or her dress would flop up. That was what was, that's what made Benny Hill popular initially in the United States, was because there was some of that where the dresses were short and the
cleavage,
the
was,
cleavage was all over the place. And if you remember, it was on Channel 32 at like 10:30 at night, because it was kind of a risque show, yeah, because
and
of
that's
that.
How he got traction here.
Yeah.
Benny Hill. Funny stuff, too. I mean, it's just not that. It was.
Oh, no, he was really
a lot
funny.
Of funny stuff. Leslie, I see when I glance up to the weather radar, a lot of pink and yellow and orange. And
maybe you're on marijuana.
Wow.
Picture yourself.
He's just tripping.
On a boat.
On a boat.
A river.
On a river. With tangerine trees.
And marmalade skies. What is that?
Yeah.
Where is that?
T-storms, as they're calling them. There is a severe thunderstorm warning in effect for Will and Kankakee counties in Illinois and several counties in northwest Indiana. And it looks like the worst of it's in northwest Indiana right now.
Yeah, it's all lit up there. And so it's heading towards Kankakee and that area and coming.
It's south of I-80 and shooting east. So,
it's not going to go north.
No. And they're still talking about getting this half a Cubs game started at 6 o'clock.
They haven't started.
And the rest of the air show. They're going to try to finish.
Still waiting.
Yep, they're going to try to finish it.
They're still there. There's people still at the beach.
I need some Blue Angels. I need them now.
Other loose ends, you were asking about what happened at the Hancock building. There was
a smash and grab
at Best Buy. They got a bunch of phones.
Best Buy.
And they grabbed phones?
Yeah.
What else?
4:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. On the Mag Mile.
And if you come down or are around Michigan Avenue, it seems like there are four cops in every corner, of course, at 4:30. Probably not as many.
Right.
But when you're coming
towards...
But
there's still plenty of people on the street at that hour. You would think with all the hotels and...
But if they're so brazen to start coming to Michigan Avenue, that was the most protected, because this is where the tourists like to hang out.
And it's time for a wall.
A what?
A wall.
In front of the Hancock?
Build a wall around the whole downtown area, okay. Around the Mag Mile.
And to look for papers, credentials before you get in?
Hey, it worked in Berlin for 40 years.
Sure did.
The Chicago
Wall.
That was to
keep people in, I think, more than keeping people out.
Well, whatever.
And those are big windows. You need a good piece of equipment to smash that.
That's a real smash and grab. I mean, that's...
Maybe they have one of those tools like I have in my car for breaking the windows.
It just hits the window
and
all crumbles.
Well, it's not a punch. It's more like a hammer. But it's got a real pointy end on it.
Or those cool things like on James Bond movies where they actually have that little round compass and they cut a circle and they just, with a suction cup.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you can get that.
Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah, whatever happened to cat burglars?
Yeah, the Pink Panther movies.
All right, well, we've just encouraged people to
find ways
go
to
get this stuff.
So what's your favorite way of breaking in?
Do they put that stuff right in the window? Or do they have to actually go into the store? I mean,
I don't know how far they had to go.
Yeah.
But
probably not too far.
You're thinking you're in the Hancock. Who's going to break a window and grab stuff? We'll put it right in the window.
Yeah, I would think at night they're going to have to start to bring that stuff in.
Yeah. All right, I thought now... You not only have to chain your chairs and tables together if you're a restaurant, now they got to go inside and chain all the phones and things together.
Used to just be like jewelry stores where they would clear out the display windows at night. Now it's everybody.
That's why
shoes.
You got to have the big sticky traps, and then at night you just pull the barrier back and it's sticky traps all around. You can't get any closer than about 4 or 5 feet to the window. Big sticky traps. Another idea.
It'd be pretty funny, though, to find some stray from Nebraska who didn't know the routine, just
stuck
there
right.
at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, the best part is, so then like at 7 o'clock, the cop comes by and they just picks up all these stray people stuck at various parts of the of the street. They're all stuck and moving.
Unless they've bitten off their foot to get away.
That can happen, too.
And then must be a solvent then, Like, how do I get him off the trap?
No, I haven't worked that out yet.
Because
with the mouse, you just toss the whole thing away.
That's my point. You have to find a way to get them off.
So we got a mouse in the house.
Well,
yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Because I had bird seed in a plastic container under the sink, and there were bite marks all around the top of the bottom.
You know,
it wasn't
your husband. Well, your husband does.
It wasn't your husband.
Home repairs.
Home repairs and things. I remember when I heard the scratching between the walls, and we knew there was a mouse in there, and my carpenter friend said, okay, here's what, you got to look around the pipes, because sometimes there's just enough of an opening, because they have no shoulders. They're like lower whacker. No shoulders.
No shoulders.
So they can get through the smallest opening, so you put steel wool around there, because they can't
the
bite through that,
thing.
And then you get some... duct tape or whatever.
And it must be, it's got to be just this tiny little opening around a gas lead. Or not a gas, a water lead.
Hour.
I won't make it as loud, so she can talk over it.
Okay. And some people are frightened when it comes out, because it comes out of nowhere and it's very loud. Oh, yeah, so there. You got to.
I cleaned the whole thing out and bleached it and washed it.
Do you have a trap down, or what do you got?
No, and that's the thing. I'm thinking I took the seed out from underneath there. There's nothing edible left, and if I do the steel wool thing, then hopefully I don't have to do any kind of trapping, because the idea of a sticky trap is just out of the question.
Well, what about the good old-fashioned?
Oh, stop. No.
Snap their neck.
No.
I remember we had one in the house one time. My dad had a few around. And it was so funny. As soon as he shut the kitchen light out and the house was dark to go to sleep,
snap.
I mean, within 5 seconds between the light going out, boom. It's like, whoop, we caught him.
Got him.
I gave the cats a little pep talk, too. Yeah. I told them to get on the shtick, otherwise.
Yeah, really? Why do you have cats?
Their rations are going to get cut if they don't start getting
busy. And just lock
them
in the kitchen all night for a few nights.
Your cat is 100, so I don't know what kind of an enemy he's going to be.
The one's not going to do much. The younger one, I expect to have her like licking it and adopting it as her own little kitten at some point.
Okay, and... that's what happened while we were sleeping, most of us. Smash and grab.
Yeah, look at that. Somebody, while you were just relaxing or sleeping, somebody was out doing some nefarious deed.
That's happening day in and day out around the world.
Testing now.
Go.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
Shake that.
It's the 6 o'clock hour.
Good evening, Florence and Philadelphia. Breaking news. VH1 has a show called Dating Naked.
Blasphemer!
And it's exactly how it sounds. Two people go through the dating ritual totally naked on camera.
Better than Vegas.
With their naughty parts blurred.
My body was blessed by Mother Nature, honey.
Now, one of the stars of the show has filed a lawsuit saying, in one episode, a crotch shot was not blurred.
I think we have a wiener.
She now feels lied to, manipulated, and used.
Look at the size of this thing.
And a budding relationship with a man she'd been dating for a month fizzled after the show aired.
So, I've been bamboozled. Oh, my.
Right. You agreed to be naked on a TV show. You did a wrestling move on the show. And when your vajayjay wasn't pixelated in a shot, then you felt humiliated?
Oops, did I do that?
By the way, her last name is Nizwitz.
You just a messy fool.
A developing story. A man in Montana called 911 when a stripper wouldn't have sex with him. You idiot. You're supposed to call 6911 for that stuff.
Exactly like your father. A big, stupid, muscle-headed moron.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting from the future in the Super G Streamliner on the Gear Force, WGN.FM, Chicago. Got a number of texts concerning the marijuana talk, and there it is. Sister in California had medical marijuana for severe pain from cancer. She had three types. None were smokable. Said it helped with pain. She was also on morphine and other meds more dangerous.
Okay, well, maybe, you know, hopefully there is some legitimate.
No, there is.
And not just getting high, because that's what I was on.
Marijuana has been legal for a year in Illinois, but our stellar politicians haven't done anything to get it to the people.
Yeah, January 1st is when it was became
right.
legal.
They're still trying to figure out how it's going to be processed and all that.
Right.
And then you wonder why this state...
they're making them jump through crazy
right.
hoops.
But there's a reason why the state is massively in debt and the city. Cancer and pot. Chemo treatment makes a lot of people sick, throw up, and loss of appetite.
And so marijuana gives you the munchies.
Grass gives the appetite back via munchies.
There you go.
Settles the stomach, absolutely.
There you go.
I tried a marijuana lollipop prior to a Bruce Springsteen concert. Best concert I ever went to.
I've got a question. So they're going to legalize marijuana. It's happening.
Right.
What? Why is it that the government gets the lion's share of this? What makes... I mean, maybe I've lost track
well,
of what the government's role is supposed to be.
The argument would be, or the parallel thought would be, they don't get the bulk of alcohol sales.
But we're going to tax the living daylights out of it, and that's how we're going to balance our budget. No, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. It's not your job make the maximum amount of money off of the American people. If this thing is now legal, you should be able to grow it in your own yard. And smoke your own and...
Like craft beer, like...
Exactly.
Right. Do that.
That whole system.
People make...
And they are trying to hamstring some of the craft brewers by enacting all these new regulations about how it has to be aged and stuff. And what it's essentially doing is putting, like, these small craft breweries out of business, slowly but surely, because, well, who do the politicians listen to? The people with the big money, and that would be the big... distilleries.
That's true.
That
they
sort of thing.
Shouldn't have their meat hooks in
no,
this at all.
There's no reason for them to do
the
that.
The argument would be, well, they don't have their meat hooks in alcohol sales.
Of course, I can make wine in my basement, right?
Although some states, Pennsylvania, they don't have alcohol in the stores, the grocery stores. They have these centers where you have to go buy your beer.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, well, is it hard liquor and everything? I think is it all liquor or just beer? Because I remember just beer stacked at these places. They're state stores, and you have to go and get that there.
See,
so it is
thing.
Regulated by the government.
Well, and I mean, I can understand some need for regulation, but it's like we've just come to accept the idea that government should be able to, triple and quadruple the cost of a thing because they want their share, whatever that share happens
and
to be.
And look at these jerkos. They can't balance anything.
Well, and that's so now right. they're going to do it off
right.
of marijuana.
The more money they get, the more we're in debt, especially this state and city. The more things they put in motion as far as we're going to tax this, we're going to sell that, we're going to let all these buildings go up, and we're massively in debt. All wrong.
I would have loved to have seen what would have happened because, unfortunately, 9/11 happened and the world changed. But if you remember, we had a surplus. The federal government had a surplus. Before, you know, where to the point where they didn't even know how to spend all this money they had. They were having congressional committees to say, what are we going to do? We have all this extra money.
Oops. We figure that
we've
out.
We've never done this before.
What if we give it back to the people? Hell no.
Oh, that'd be wrong. Annette?
Hello. How are you, Gary?
Good.
It's good. I just want to say thank you. My pin arrived. It took a little bit of time. We were kind of like Ralphie and Christmas Story waiting for it. But it was worth the anticipation.
Well, when did you request it initially?
Oh, initially, I would say it was the first week of July.
Okay. The whole summer got topsy-turvy after the change. And
right.
And then they moved my office, so there was a lot of shifting. I apologize. But I think we're up to speed on everything. On the Dreamliner pins, that's what she's talking about, and all the other prizes that people have won. The crucifixes are here for people to pick up and won them. So I feel like we're getting above all of it and handling things.
Oh, definitely. And I have to say my employer did quite well getting it to me. It was mailed out on the 15th, and I received it on the 18th.
No. Okay, once it got out. There it was. And some were mailed in regular envelopes, and because it's a pin, it had a pointy end, and it poked through the envelope and just disappeared.
Yeah,
at least
that.
That's what we heard happened.
Yeah. That causes havoc with the machinery in the post office, let me tell you.
Somebody told me they wore one at the airport, and a flight attendant went, hey, where could I get one of those? It's better than the ones I get. Because theirs are plastic.
Yes, so this
very nice. I have to say I was better than expected. It was very nice.
What do you think? Was it made out of cardboard? What? Come on. I'm not giving away junk.
I can see why the flight attendant asked. Because, yeah. You know, the ones you used to get were plastic, you know.
No. Anything I give away, I'm going to go first cabin because of David Hochberg financing them and Rick Dano from Midwest Promotion Group making this stuff. We've found a nice little connection here to get this done. And these sculptures that Dave Novotny makes, I mean, I can't even describe how great they are. It doesn't do it justice. You see these pieces and you think, wow, that's how great. Yeah. The crucifix, and if you're not Christian, then... I'm going to do a dreidel or something maybe for you or whatever you're practicing. But as a piece of art, you don't even have to be religious. This is a beautiful sculpture.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now on the site, I have to look it up.
Yeah, I think it's on my Facebook page. Is it on there, Aaron, the crucifix? Yeah, we'll get it on there.
And
what?
How do we go about getting one of those?
I will be giving those away periodically for things like the Scott Stantis cartoon, caption contest, and other things I'll be doing along the way. So just keep listening, and I'll have those, because Dave said he'd make them if I want them.
And accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
And if you're not of Christian faith, you have to convert.
It's done already, you know.
This is the future. This is where the radio program has you convert and do all kinds of things that you wouldn't normally do on AM and FM.
Sure, at least we can say bless you. So.
Well, there's the 6:16 on time. I can hear it in the background.
That is actually probably one of the freight trains that's carrying the vehicles from Chrysler right now. I'm in Belvedere. So.
Oh yeah, they got the big plant up there.
That's right.
Good.
But I did have to ask, is there any chance of getting another pin?
Another pin?
For my boyfriend, yes.
All right, well.
Quite jealous.
Aaron, put her on hold. Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll get it to you a lot sooner this time, hopefully.
It'll be a Christmas gift.
Right.
I'm sure. Yeah,
if he wants it for his Halloween costume, you've called the right time.
You bet.
All right, Annette. Thank you, and I'll put you on hold now, all right?
Oh, okay. Thank you, Gary.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. They got to do it in the other room because the hold button is not holding.
Oh.
Yeah. Can you do that over there? Yeah, they're going to do it. So 3, 2, 1, because I got another call. And if I go to that, I'll cut you off. I don't know why.
Okay.
Structure like this.
There's a phone call on hold. I got to take another one. It's on the air. It's hot.
Craig.
Hey, how you doing, Gary?
Good, sir.
Yeah, I called yesterday. I'm the alcoholic who drinks vodka.
I had a feeling that was him just by his laugh.
Yeah.
I was like, this sounds like the guy that said alcoholic yesterday.
And I just tuned in. I heard you guys talking about marijuana. I told you I used to do drugs before I drank.
Mm-hmm.
I did drugs for probably 25 years, from probably, I don't know, 16 to 35, 38. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not sure what you were talking about marijuana. I loved marijuana. I would have never went to alcohol, ever. But I got sick. I don't know if I got a bad, like, moldy marijuana or whatever, mm-hmm. but it didn't turn out good. So I quit doing that and went. Like I said, I can't live sober, so I went to alcohol. Then went, I can't stand beer, so I went to vodka. And I just want to let you know, I'm not going to drink and drive anymore.
Thank you.
But can I swim? Because I live on a lake, can I swim and drink?
Swim and drink?
Because I've been swimming for the last couple hours, and I got to tell you, I've been drinking since about noon.
All right. Yeah, swim and drink all you want. Just stay out of a vehicle.
Do you have a buddy you could swim with?
Do you have a life preserver?
I got a German Shepherd I swim with every day.
Oh, that's good, because they can swim.
Yeah, he swims better than I do. I just float, you know. I just... basically stand in the water and drink and smoke cigarettes. But
that sounds great.
But, I mean, as far as marijuana, it should be legal, in my opinion.
Roads,
I don't live in Chicago. I live, you know, central Illinois. And I live out in the country. And the roads here suck. And they should legalize it, tax it. We could have better roads, you know. Actually, I think the alcohol should drop in price, too, because vodka is pretty expensive.
All right.
$14 for, it's like $14, $15 for a 1.75 liter.
Even in central Illinois?
Yeah. That's ridiculous, ain't it?
How much is your gas there?
My gas is like $3.27.
Oh, okay. Maybe you save it on the gas a little bit.
I don't drive a whole lot right now because, you know, I've been injured on my job. So, yeah, I used to listen to you all the time when I was working on the radio, and now I'm sitting on my deck outside the lake drinking, listening to you. Sure. It's a lot better, to be honest.
What's a lot better?
Sitting on my deck listening to your radio show than having to actually work and do it.
Yeah, I bet that is pretty nice.
And I got to tell you, I've had a few more drinks today than I did yesterday when I called.
Show is much better, isn't it?
I don't know if you can tell.
Oh, I don't think so at all. How old a man are you, Craig?
I was going to tell you that because I heard Baba Shivel or whatever his name is.
Baba Shivel.
That's his Christian name. That's
or
his
Elton Slim or whatever his name is.
Wait, I'm writing this down. Now,
Elton Slim.
Now, Craig, you've hit pay dirt. When I start writing stuff down, that's gold. That's gold, Craig.
Have another drink.
I heard you guys yesterday after I got off. You said I was in my 50s.
Right.
I'm 45.
Oh, you're almost there.
You sound a little older, that's all.
Well, maybe that's the alcohol talking.
That could be.
Well, considering that you said you were drinking for 25 years.
Yeah, marijuana before that.
No, I said I was drinking for 10 years. I've only been drinking for 10 years. I did drugs before that.
Right.
Yeah, I gave up the drugs.
Okay. And now
so
you're on.
I'm socially acceptable. Now,
all
you
right.
know, you can drink all you want, and you're socially acceptable. You do drugs, you're an outcast.
Yeah. Well, you picked the right medicine.
Yeah, and beer sucks, so I went, you know, to the harder stuff because you got to drink less of it, and it tastes better.
Okay. All right, Craig, just don't drive.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, you got a great show.
Thanks, Craig. Appreciate it.
All right, Gary.
Well, these last 2 days, I mean, this is right up this guy's sweet spot. You're talking about alcohol, drugs. He's like, this is the greatest show on earth.
On the front porch with his dog, Snot. Dave. Dave Novotny, master sculptor, right here.
Right here.
Hey, Gary, I wanted to ask you a question. I know you got a lot of those pins that you're giving away. You ought to have Jim give me a bag of those because when I'm at my shows, I usually get a dozen or more people that actually ask about you. So.
Oh, okay,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe I can give one.
I think I'm down to my last 700 of those.
All right. Well,
we only have 35 left.
35.
Well, they went faster than I thought. But you're welcome to whatever.
I guess we're not going to get those.
Well,
but anyways, that cross is available too. So I mean, you can give those away anytime you'd like, and they have two ways of getting them. They can either win one from you, or they can actually buy one from me.
How much are they?
I charge $50 for the size that you have. And then for the smaller one, I charge $35 for that.
Okay. When you see these, when I see your work, I think I have a price in mind, and then you give out the price, and it's much lower than I would think because these pieces are unique and beautiful.
Everything that I do, I try to keep reasonable so everybody can afford it, not just certain people.
Well, that is commendable. And when you get one of his pieces, people think you paid $500 minimum for any of this stuff.
Exactly.
You can insure it for a lot more.
Yeah. Hey, while I got you on, Dave, you want to talk about Taste of Melrose Park Labor Day weekend?
Sure. Labor Day weekend, the Taste of Melrose Park starts Friday night at 5 o'clock, runs through Sunday, not on Labor Day. They have 70 food vendors. They actually have more food vendors than the Taste of Chicago. It's been going on for 30-plus years, and all the food is priced $3 and under. Fireworks on Sunday. Really nice fireworks display. Probably a better fireworks display than the Taste of Chicago or the Chicago puts on. So,
sure.
I mean, bands. They've got three band stages. Crafts, all kinds of things. I mean, fun for a family.
Great. So that's a week from tomorrow starting, and then all weekend Labor Day weekend.
And Dave has a table there. Or?
Do you have a booth there? Right.
I have a 30 foot by 10 foot display that I actually come out and I display some of my work.
Good. And where in Melrose?
It's right off of 25th and Lake Street.
Okay. Taste of Melrose Park. Good eating.
Nice sausage.
Nice vittles. Thank you, Dave.
All right, Gary.
As ever, thanks for everything, yes.
You know, if you look at his website, too, he's got pictures of some of them, including the crucifix.
Yeah.
And that's CustomSteelArt.com.
To me, the metal would cost at least that much, let alone the work he puts into them.
It's amazing. I mean, some of his pieces are really intricate.
Yeah. And he's a one-man band
yeah,
in his
pretty much,
shop and
yeah.
just cutting that stuff. There are live catch traps for mice. Also, the steel wool doesn't work. Get a foam. Great stuff to seal all tiny openings around pipes.
Got it. I'll do that instead then.
I thought the steel wool worked. Are they now immune to that?
Maybe they got a taste for it now.
Those traps are like two for a buck.
The what? The live traps?
Yeah.
No, no, no.
They're just wood and a little spring.
They have traps where you can release.
I've seen those.
Trap and release.
Yeah. I'd consider that. And I'm thinking that I've nipped this in the bud early enough. It's not like I'm going to allow an infestation. It was just...
A stray mouse.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that time of year.
And can I pay cash for my marijuana? I'm talking earlier about how cash is becoming so old school and nobody wants to take it anymore.
Although there's a grocery store by us that for a while when it opened wouldn't take cash at all.
A grocery
Not
store?
Not any yeah. cash.
No, none at all. And now maybe a year into their operation, they've started taking cash.
Okay, and what would be the reason for that?
I guess it was just easier. And if you had no credit card, you could go to the service desk and buy a gift card.
Okay.
From them.
From them. But they were not taking cash at the checkout at all.
Well, maybe they didn't trust their cashiers to make the correct change.
It's a really high-end grocery store. There are nice kids who work there. I don't know.
It's Macca getting high. Mike?
Yeah, hello.
Hey.
Gary?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a comment on Leslie's mouse problem.
All right. This is getting very homespun and talking over the fence now, which I like. What do you got?
People helping people.
That's right, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And then the boosters. I'm having a couple lightning kugels working on the old Stingray. And your signal is coming through very good today. Yesterday it sucked.
Well, but, it wasn't even on for the first 25 minutes.
You know, I was crawled under the old car. I'd get up because the thing would shut off.
What kind of Stingray? Yeah, what year?
It's 1972. Actually, it started with a bad vacuum hose, and then it went to a upper radiator hose. And then I thought, well, I'll replace both of them, and then the heater hoses. And it's a nightmare, stud.
Did you buy this new or?
No. I bought it in 2000. Actually, what happened is, I don't know if you recall, but everybody was talking about the computers crashing back in 2000 when that would roll over. So I go, well, I got that beat. I'll just buy an old car, and I won't have to worry about the computer thing.
I'll buy a 1972 Stingray.
Yeah, exactly. And bingo, although now I'm working on it, and it's a bitch. But it's coming around and putting it back together.
All right. And you wanted to suggest something about mice.
Yes. You can go to Farm and Fleet, which we call it Farm and Barn up here in Wisconsin, and buy some golden mall rent, it's called. It's a fly killer. But what you do is you take some of this crystal stuff out of the golden mall rent, mix it with some like Sprite or Mountain Dew in a tiny bowl and set that out, and that will take care of your mice problem, Gare.
Well, Leslie's got one.
She doesn't want to hurt
kill
it or hurt it. She
just
wants
don't
to
want it in the cabinet anymore.
Trap and release.
She wants to corral it.
Well, I'll tell you, my neighbor, who's from Chicago, I live in Wisconsin, but he sets those traps out, and he live catches the mice, then he lets them go, and they just run right back around the back door, and they're right back in the house, so,
Yeah.
I don't know, but I really love your show.
Thank you. I had that sticky trap. The mouse was caught in that. Then I, and then I looked at the mouse, and it's still alive. And I'm thinking, well, this is a bad device because it's still alive. What am I going to do now? So I got the big gloves on because I didn't want to get near it, and a shovel, and I had to bang it on the head. I was depressed for a week after that.
Yeah. Well, hey, thank goodness you don't have rats, Dud.
Yeah, I am thanking goodness.
Because actually my neighbor who lives down on Wolfram, I don't know, down there in Chicago someplace, but he has rat problems. That's why I have this golden malware now, but he's going to try that.
You
hate to kill anything, really, but if it's a pest, you have to deal with it, unfortunately.
Rats go where the food is, so if you leave food out, that's what they go for. They don't have any other agenda. And dog droppings. If you don't clean up after your dog, you're going to have a rat problem.
I don't have a dog, and I don't have rat problems. Although I do have woodchuck problems, which is way worse than rats, in my opinion. I don't know. They tunnel, and it's a brutal thing.
Right.
But they're
like a Mexican drug cartel.
They're like Hamas.
Right. They tunnel, and they're just a pain, I swear. Mike, go replace those hoses in the vet.
I will, and I'm glad things are coming much better on the interweb, Gary.
Yeah.
Yesterday, it really sucked.
But that turned out.
Throwing a towel, but now I'm back. I'm back alive. So
that turned out to be a computer problem here, system wide at the Tribune. It wasn't your phone or iHeart, UHeart, We All Heart, iTunes, that wasn't it. It was within here, the Tribune Tower.
Yeah, it was fairly unusual because on occasion, you know, I'll click onto that thing and it's, I don't know if I'm doing it wrong, but what I used to click onto the WGN Live back when you were out just on the interweb, you know, and it would come on and blah, 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 but since you've gone to the new format, I have to keep clicking on and clicking on and clicking on, and I really don't think I'm making that mistake, but today it worked flawless.
Right. Here's what I've said. Ebola is a center point. If you're far away from that, no matter what your problems, you're good.
Two clicks ain't going to hurt you.
Yeah. Ebola is the cautionary tale at this point. Everything else is good.
Ebola or Ebaba Billa?
Another name. Thanks, Mike. Why is everybody talking like Craig now? That same kind of, I'm sitting on the porch with my dog.
Because I think they're all pretty much in the same state of mind.
Probably.
It's 6:45 on a Sunday, a summer afternoon.
Oh.
You can't buy any alcohol in PA in a regular store. You have to get wine and liquor at a state store and beer at a beer distributor. Yeah.
At a beer distributor?
Yeah. That's why I said earlier, I don't think it's anything but beer. That's right. It's a beer distributor. You go in there and it's just stacked with cases of beer. And then the beer and wine, or these wine and other liquor at state stores. So they are controlling the flow in Pennsylvania, and I'm sure some other states do this too.
So there's no privately owned liquor store, like Tom's Liquor?
No, and you can't buy it in a grocery store.
Wow.
It's all controlled that way.
So where do the hard ciders go, in the parking lot between the two?
Yeah, I don't know, but that smacks of Big Brother.
That's wild. Well, I mean, in Utah, you have to join a club. You have to join an alcohol club.
Right.
Now, it's kind of loosey-goosey, but because of the whole Mormon thing, they don't want to have legalized alcohol, so you have to join a private club, which is basically, I guess, like a bar. Or a place to buy it, but it's a club. Illegally.
These are like those leftover blue laws
in
any number of states.
Here's my new bumper sticker to address that. We don't need to trade legalizing anything for higher taxes. We deserve liberty.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Don't tread on me.
But they're going to control all of the marijuana flow and the revenue.
Well, Well, and so you did discuss the fact that you have to have something like $400,000 in liquid assets
liquid.
Before,
right off the top.
Before you could even apply.
And it's going to cost $250,000 between all the different licenses.
If you're that flush, you don't need the money.
To open a dispensary.
Right. You need people that are looking for a break. Maybe some of these, I'm telling you, these gang members, they already know the business. Let's get them out of the killing business and into this. They'll have this thing making money like you wouldn't believe.
Poor Snake and Ace and Neil, where are they supposed to go now?
You know, and what's funny, though, is look at the taxi cabs versus Uber thing.
Oh, right.
It's where there seem to be separate laws for different people, depending on whether you're, you know, in the fun group or not. And I can see where the taxi cabs are really angry. Why would they have to pay all these extra fees?
And these Uber guys just
roll
little,
into town and
What is that, though? How does that work to get an Uber car, cab, whatever they're calling
to
it?
To become a driver?
No, how do you get
just
them?
Just go online and then, arrange for it. And some
then they
guy,
pick you up.
And I guess the problem is they I'll be by in a, you know, a white Honda Civic and you just jump in. And so there was a story yesterday about these people who are pulling up to busy corners and having people jump in their cars thinking that they're the Uber ride.
Car, yeah. Who vets these people?
The Uber company.
Yeah, who are they?
Well, one of them's related to the mayor.
No, but my point is, who are they?
Really, that's
who are they to vet? Well,
right.
Why am I going to trust
them? Speaking of vet, I hope that guy gets those hoses replaced, Yahey. I got to replace
the full circle.
Flam shooter, and I don't know if I'm doing something wrong with this interweb. If you put that mix out that guy said for the mice a little earlier, it will kill your pets, too.
Oh.
The trap and release is around $4 at Walmart and is reusable.
And that's the thing. If it comes down to it, I'll do that. We had to do that with a squirrel that got into our house years ago. Yeah, a little jerk got in through the chimney and into the ductwork. All of a sudden, I was looking at a cold air return in the ceiling, and there was somebody looking back at me. It was just, it was a baby. And so we got the live trap. It took all of like 30 minutes for him to take the bait and never came back.
But for this mouse, you can't just go for the final solution?
No, no.
Baba Shiva was at my bar mitzvah.
Was Elton Shin there?
Elton Slim.
Elton Slim.
Oh, Slim.
Baba Shiva.
And what did that guy say, the Corvette guy?
Oh, Baba Boomble. I don't know what he said.
Bibble Bavizzle. Fashizzle Bibble.
Fashizzle. Baba Fashizzle.
And this one. What time does the show start?
Oh. Ouch.
At 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
The whole thing. Repeated. 312-521-8600. At least six newlywed brides in India have left their husbands because their homes lacked a toilet. The six return to their parents' homes in protest and vow not to go back until their in-laws get proper plumbing.
Good for them.
That's how you get it done.
Just keep
that whole toilet thing over
there. Girl's got to have her standards, doggone it.
This is in India?
Yes, and I did that story last week about how some people have toilets indoors, but they don't want to use them because it's improper to eat and sleep where you go to the bathroom, which is completely reverse thinking of logic.
Well, plus the Indian government's on the big push to make sure that everybody gets plumbing eventually.
Now, a real big push.
Say a company like Kohler goes over there, even China, too. They've got the same deal. And don't you just print money?
You would think.
Or they have their own toilet companies. It's too expensive to go over there and set up shop or send their stuff over there.
They might, yeah.
Because a Kohler or an American Standard or what's the other ones I notice when I'm standing there?
Yeah, American, yeah.
American Standard, Kohler.
Mine has a palm tree on it, I think, or something.
Your what?
My commode.
A palm tree?
Yeah, there's some little design. I don't know what that is. I don't know what company that is.
Those are the two that are
American
predominant.
Yeah.
So the brides say, hey, either get a toilet or we're done.
You're not getting under my sari.
And some other goofy stories.
Wow, what a look Leslie just gave me.
A North Dakota man has admitted to assaulting his sister over a toilet seat. Thaddeus Morgan has changed his plea to guilty to charges of simple assault and interference with telephone during emergency call. That's how it's worded. That is interference with telephone during emergency call. The fight started when Morgan forgot to put the seat down, which made his sister mad.
Ugh.
Morgan then pushed and hit her and tried to stop her from calling 911.
Okay, sure.
This toilet seat thing.
South Carolina woman last night pummeled a 64-year-old man after he passed gas in her face. Jessica Cerny was laying on the couch in Myrtle Beach.
Dinner time!
When Daryl McKnight came into the house intoxicated and passed gas in her face. Cerny told police that she left the home to get away from McKnight, but said that he followed her outside. As the two argued over the incident, the cursing McKnight approached her in a threatening manner.
With his backside to her, or what?
God.
How do you do it in her face?
She was lying on the couch.
She was lying on the couch.
Oh, she's lying.
Yeah. Hey, here's something funny. Pull my finger. A Virginia woman called 911 to claim a pot dealer robbed her at gunpoint.
Yeah.
She's not the first.
Amanda Toomey called police and told them she was robbed after making arrangements to buy pot.
Toomey claimed
that when she met with someone, he pulled out a gun and demanded her money. She said that she complied, and he left without giving her the marijuana. Detectives discovered that Toomey voluntarily gave the guy money to buy marijuana from another person. The guy instead kept the money without giving Toomey the pot.
My drug deal didn't go well, and I'm mad.
I was supposed to get some, and that's what I'm thinking she sounded like,
yeah.
Supposed to get some pot from this guy, and he took my money, and I didn't get any pot.
It's not fair.
It's not fair!
Just think, in a couple of years, we won't be able to have stories like this anymore. She'll just go to the corner store.
That's it.
What do you think, 10 years?
For what?
Marijuana will be completely legal around
across
the country?
The country?
Yeah, across the country, not just state by state. Thing.
As long as Colorado keeps getting the healthy revenues, it's going to happen faster and faster.
Is it doing well?
That's what they pulled in several million dollars in the first weeks.
Yeah.
That's just their share, the state
but
share.
But I just have the feeling when it becomes completely legal here, the revenue will be coming in, and it won't put a dent in any of our debt.
Well, it was like the lottery. That was going to solve every school problem.
Yeah.
Until they told you the little, you know.
Okay, there's this whole thing about the general fund, and it's not
just
necessarily
helps supply
going
the fund.
To the schools
it's not,
right
it's
away.
It's not added on top.
Right.
It supplements. And then the money goes elsewhere.
Here's a text. Drug dealers make a lot of money, Gary. Yeah, and that's why we need them to be in the infrastructure of this, because they know how to run this stuff. They're ready to go. They will tell you how to distribute, where to get it, how to make it, all that stuff.
For the last 40 or 50 years, they've run it a pretty good business.
And if we made them legit, it would take the cancer, hopefully, out of the neighborhoods.
Now they're complaining that the pot growers are using too much water, though.
Oh, good. And
You mean like from a drought situation?
Yeah. It's always somebody's always complaining about something.
Yeah. Well,
did we always complain? Was there a time when everything was kind of all right?
We shift our complaining.
I don't think
when we
was.
Were six.
Yeah.
And Aaron handed me something. I haven't had a chance to read it about legalizing marijuana. It's a pro. Situation, right? What is this error that you handed me as long as we're talking about? Saying Yes in Defense of Drug Use.
It's a book. I read it for a class I took in college in Colorado called...
No kidding, in Colorado.
In Rado.
To add to the running theme here. It's in defense of drug use. It's just a good read, good information.
That's a surprise.
And by drug, we're talking marijuana?
Marijuana is a big portion of the
but process. It's other drugs too.
Yeah, it covers a whole range of different drugs.
Horse,
meth, Molly.
Horse, Molly.
What just else don't put it in candy bar. Don't put it in what looks like a regulation legal candy bar.
I don't want it in Snickers.
I don't want it in Chuckles.
I don't want it in Twix.
I don't want it in Circus Peanuts.
Because somebody in a pair of corduroy jeans is going to have a bad night, and we're all going to hear about it.
Put it in the fiddle faddle. They're going to eat it anyway.
Savages, those hippie savages.
All right, so Saying Yes by Jacob Sullum is what she was talking about. Somebody also sent me an anti-legalize it thing that I got to take a look at. I just got it today about how... I think it's about fatal car accidents in Washington State or Colorado have gone up tremendously since they've legalized it. But just because alcohol
don't drink
is,
and dube.
Yeah, is legal. Everybody doesn't drink. Everybody's not an alcoholic. And it's right there. And it was the same situation. Prohibition, evil, no, not legal, never going to be legal. And then here it is.
Don't toke and drive.
Okay. Well, do you think a lot of people jump in because it's available that
I don't
had no interest?
I know
be
I
wanted
won't.
To experiment?
I won't. They could legalize it here. I'm not going to change my behavior.
And I guess they're saying that it doesn't seem like it's having much of an impact on kids yet, that they're not seeing increased number of kids getting involved.
Just we know cigarettes kill, and there they
people,
are.
Yep.
And they tax the bejesus out of those, and they seem happy with that sin tax.
Plus, it's a huge thing to take away the stigma.
Right.
Like you were saying. You had this woman today in the bank or whatever said, don't look at my paper because it's got sensitive information. So now you wanted to look.
Right.
Same thing here. If we don't know that marijuana is bad for you and blah, 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 blah.
No, it's that, well, oh, I got to put my hand over the flame.
Take the stigma away and it's not going to be as much of a problem.
And they're saying part of the problem with it being, if you want to consider it a gateway drug, was the fact that it was so poorly represented by different programs in school, and they talked about you're going to hallucinate, and it's going to be this crazy thing. Next thing you know, you're raping and killing and murdering.
The Reefer
and
Madness
then,
movie.
Exactly. And then the kids would smoke pot and realize, well, all we did was sit around, eat pizza, and watch a movie, and it's nothing. So now, all of a sudden, well, what else are they lying to us about? Somebody offers you a pill, maybe this is overblown too, and that's more dangerous.
Too much water? What?
Marijuana. We still are. Uh-huh. Marijuana is the flame. Heroin is the fuse. LSD is the bomb.
I want the whole wrap. Do you have
the
longer wrap?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you can have
too much water, what about the ALS ice bucket challenge? Yes, I suggest you, if you're going to do that, you do it over a budding marijuana plant, so you're not wasting the water.
That's very cool. Awesome. I have that whole thing if you want.
Bedford Park, huge water supply. They should be the main warehouse of marijuana.
Growing capital of the Midwest.
Make sure Marilyn knows what you're saying. Or who is the person you're supposed to call? Remember the person you're supposed
Marilyn,
to
call? Marilyn, I think,
yeah.
I miss them. Tell me when you have that.
Yeah, I have it.
You have it. Oh, yeah. Let's let it rip.
I know that, in fact, too many kids that begin with pot end up with heroin, then on to LSD. I know that if you drink, you suffer a loss of judgment, if you drink to excess. But I also know that judgment returns when you sober up. I know, and so do you, when you flip out on an acid trip, you never know when you're going to slip out again. This is now, Bentley, not a couple of years ago. We've had time now to see and study the effects of LSD. People who haven't had a dose in weeks sail out on another trip. They never know when. The minute they drop one acid capsule or ingest it in any way, they bought the farm. They've lost any chance to depend on and even restore that most precious of all inner senses, judgment. And in my way of thinking, without judgment, you might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
We were talking about marijuana.
We still are. Marijuana is the flame. Heroin is the fuse. LSD is the bomb. So don't you try to equate liquor with marijuana, mister. Not with me. You may sell that jazz to another pothead, but not to somebody who spends most of their time holding some sick kid's head while he vomits and retches sitting on a curbstone at 4 o'clock in the morning. And when his knees get enough starch back in him so he can stand up and empty his pockets, you can bet he'll turn out a stick or two of marijuana. And you can double your money. He'll be holding a sugar cube or a cap or two. So don't you con me with your mind expansion slop. I deal with kids every day. I try to clean up the mess that people like you make out of them. I'm the expert here. You're not.
I'm thinking, how long, how many takes did it do? How many takes did it do?
How many takes did it do?
How many takes did it do?
Good, just, goobly goo.
Just talking about marijuana, I got a contact high. How many takes did he do in that? You think he did it in one?
I'll tell you.
That's a lot of dialogue.
It sounded like it was passionate from the heart and right off the top
this
of
is a lot, it. And it's coming fast, and you got to have it in your head.
Yeah, I don't think that that was more than one or two. I think he knew that. He was saying that right off, like you said. That was well rehearsed. He said that many times in his life before he did it on camera.
Boy, that's kind of the Reefer Madness rap right there. And Reefer Madness was in the 40s. Is that when that movie came out?
Probably 40s, yeah. Early 50s.
And that was in the 60s with Joe Friday.
And what's so great about watching the color dragnets from pretty much 67 through 69. They went to the maybe 70, and that was it. But from 67 through 69, every second or third episode was this kind of drug, you know, platform, and it was telling how, you know, it was basically trying to tell parents. It was scaring parents. The show was trying to scare parents.
Yeah, they were always busting some hippie enclave.
Yeah. And
then
it was
some good girl who just got mixed up with crazy psychedelic.
But it was always about how crazy these. I mean, there's one famous episode is called Blue Boy.
Oh,
and,
remember that.
He buries his head in the ground.
Because yeah, that's right.
Because he smoked the marijuana.
Yeah.
I mean,
look at him.
Yeah, it's just off. You know, his face is all blue and yellow. I mean, it's crazy.
Now he's an ostrich.
Yeah.
He dropped a cube, and now he's an ostrich.
I mean, they just went so far over, and that. That
and like
one
I
there.
Said, and then somebody smokes, a marijuana cigarette, and realizes I didn't paint my face.
In the
today.
Meantime, all these characters are smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, exactly.
One after another.
And when
well, because that's good. For
yeah,
you.
When Joe Friday goes by Gannon's house for dinner, they're smoking and drinking.
Yeah,
yeah, no
these
problem.
Damn hippies.
Yeah,
they're savages.
Reefer Madness, 1936.
Wow, that's way ahead of the curve. But even that episode that clip is from. That is an entire episode, 30 minutes, of just Joe Friday and this Timothy Leary kind of character with the LSD going back and forth with all these different statistics,
mm-hmm.
and it's just Joe Friday doing, there's like 17 other rants in there. And then Gannon gets in on the, I mean, it's just like this one big kind of
Joe,
thing.
Joe, they're filth, they're animals,
it's
they're savages.
I love watching it because it's so crazy, it's so silly.
Okay, well, I think the Streamliner has pulled into wherever a Streamliner pulls in.
Trying to find a gate.
A space station.
Trying to find an open gate right now.
And we'll put a lid on it for today. Thank you for listening. The whole show repeats itself starting at 7, and then everything's podcast after that forever,
tell me. Thanks to Leslie, who monitors.
She has to, now that I know that somebody's sleeping. And speaking of sleeping at the wheel, there was a story about this airport in China where planes coming in for a landing, and everybody in the tower was asleep. The air traffic control tower was asleep. The guy had to go around for 45 minutes before they woke up.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
Yeah.
Was there a gas leak or something?
I don't know, but that was the story. And being asleep to hit the repeat of the show, that's minor compared to that, I understand. But Leslie's on it. Don't
I
worry
will
about
do.
It. Thanks for listening. Back tomorrow at 3. Good night.